cancer is now so rampant that almost everyone has come face to face with the illness, either personally or through a friend or loved one. Perhaps surprisingly, though, for most people, the disease will not be fatal. But cancer can certainly threaten your life, and at first it may be terrifying.
I interviewed two women today who hadn't a clue that they had cancer.
In Boston, Dr. Ann Webster counsels cancer patients at Harvard University's Mind-Body Medical Institute.
Just on a routine checkup, both of these happened to have been diagnosed with lymphoma, had absolutely no physical symptoms whatsoever, feeling perfectly fine, and the next thing you know it, are told that they have stage 4 lymphoma. So these women are in utter shock and total disbelief. So they're so emotionally upset about this bad news that has come on so suddenly. I think if you have a warning sign or some kind of a symptom, you might anticipate this. But to have this come at you out of the blue when you're healthy and fit and really taking care of yourself and find that it's pretty advanced already is absolutely frightening.
It's something that I think is common to all of us in many ways, were we to sit across the desk from a physician and have that physician look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry to tell you, you have cancer. That no matter what else is going on in your life, you're suddenly very different from virtually everyone you know.
Dr. Michael States directs a clinical program for cancer patients at the Wellness Community in Santa Monica, California.
So there's that isolation. You're alone in that moment. I know very few people, particularly of a certain age, who don't hear the word cancer and immediately equate it with death. So there's an immediate loss of hope. Loss of control is suddenly six other people are telling you, you have to do this, you have to do that. They're bringing you books. The doctors say you're going to lose your hair. The doctors say you're going to have this kind of treatment. And the sense that your body that you've maybe relied upon and had a sense of is now totally out of control, as well as the rest of your life. How you parent, if you're a parent, how you work, if you're employed, how you're in a relationship. Everything is suddenly different in that moment.
While at one time a disease people whispered about, cancer has emerged from the closet, in part because medicine can now treat it more effectively. No longer are patients expected to bear the emotional burden of a major illness in stoic silence. And the process of connecting with others, whether friends and loved ones or increasingly members of support groups, can confer significant benefits to physical health, not to mention the quality of a patient's life. In major studies, medical science has established for a variety of ailments that the act of communicating with people is good medicine. Physician David Spiegel at Stanford University Medical School.
Being isolated is bad for your health. That people who had few social contacts, few people they could call up for an emergency or just if they wanted to talk to someone, had about a twofold elevated risk of dying. And the risk of isolation to your health is as bad as smoking or having high serum cholesterol levels. So we are social creatures, and social support is critical to survival. There have been studies in particular involving cancer patients, and basically the same thing has been found, that both risk and also prognosis from cancer is associated with social isolation. You know, we're fundamentally social beings, and it's an unnatural thing to be isolated from one's social environment. And yet much that happens when you get cancer or heart disease or other serious illness involves exactly that. You're removed from the day-to-day sources of social support and contact. Friends and family even may be scared and not know what to do or what to say. So a process gets set in motion where people become more isolated at a time when they need social support more.
And there's also the phenomenon of people who simply become very embarrassed. There's somehow a stigma that attaches to having cancer.
Well, there is a sense of shame. There is a stigma. It's peculiar. There was a wonderful line in the book, The Doctor, in which he had stayed up all night trying to save a man after a heart attack and failed and went to tell his brother the next morning that he died. And the brother said, well, doc, thank God he didn't have cancer. You know, the outcome couldn't have been much worse. But there is this sense that there's something uniquely awful about cancer. And oddly enough, many people with the disease somehow feel ashamed of it.
One place where people are encouraged to face cancer with confidence is here at the national headquarters of the wellness community near Los Angeles. It was founded as a nonprofit in 1982 by Harold Benjamin, a charismatic lawyer-turned-psychologist whose wife has battled breast cancer. The wellness community offers classes and support groups free of charge to some 20,000 cancer patients each year. Its highly respected program recognizes that doctors' visits and medical treatment frequently are unable to address the profound emotional crisis so often swirling around someone with cancer. Newcomers typically arrive discouraged. The wellness community works to restore a sense of hope. That recovery is possible if a patient actively pursues it.
Having the opportunity to come to some place like the wellness community with this home-like atmosphere and to sit in a room with 12 other people who have had that moment of having a doctor look you in the eye and saying, you have cancer. You're not alone anymore. You see people in that room who have finished their chemotherapy, who are talking about going back to work, who are at different moments in their lives, who can also talk to you about the actions that they took to communicate with their physicians, to have a better understanding and education about their disease, to in fact participate in their own fight for recovery. And you have hope. You have ways to regain control.
Patients who participate in the wellness community are often remarkable people from many backgrounds who've thought deeply about the challenge and the mystery of having cancer.
I think it's an openness to seeing this as an experience in life, an openness to saying this is part of real life. You can either run from the experience or you can make it a full experience for yourself and try to have as much fun while you're doing it.
Now, you have a little grin on your face.
I absolutely do, and it's more like the fun can continue despite all the difficulties. That's how I would put it. I'm not having more fun because I have cancer. I'd rather go back to be my old frivolous self and be cancer-free. But the fun doesn't have to end because you have cancer. And you have to focus on all the stuff that you still can do and still can enjoy.
What for you is fun now?
Being with people in a more intense way than I maybe would be if I weren't sick. I'm much more selective in what I do, how I spend my time, who I spend it with. One big word here that comes up a lot of the time is permission. Cancer will give you permission to pursue the things that you really want to do. And because
so something in particular you've pursued now?
I've done a lot of writing. The wellness community provided me with the incentive because I've been in a writing group here. And I realized that my kids won't hear some of the things, some of the words of wisdom that I have to impart on them. So my solution is I write about it, and that way I don't have to bore them with my lectures, as they call them. And yet I collect some things I want to talk about, and maybe at a later point in 30 years they might want to look at it, and it might answer the question, well, I wonder what life was like for my mother when she had cancer.
Nice legacy.